And so happy to see everyone here today. I just thank God. I thank the Lord for his love, for his grace, for his mercy. I thank God for his word. And when I read his word, I'm amazed at what God can show me. You know, I've been in church my entire life. My grandfather pastored a church for until he passed away. So about 30 plus years, almost 40 years. He pastored and ministered. And I'm thankful that I had that background, that foundation in the Lord, because it has allowed me to be exposed and to see the hand of God and the power of God. Now, as I grew a little bit older, I got away from that some, but I never got too far away. And I always knew God's love for me. Sometimes when we grow up in church or our parents are saved, we take that for granted. You know, we grow up thinking that we're going to be okay and, oh, I'll get back to it at some point. And we fall away from our love with the Lord. Ever since I was a child, I played games. You know, we've all played games. We've watched games on TV. No one likes to lose. We all like to win. We want to be on a winning team. And if you are in Christ this morning, that battle is already won. That victory is already won. So today, I'm going to talk about the path to victory. If you would go to me to 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 4 and read verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. When I think about the word victory, it means to overcome, to conquer, to win. The opposite of that is defeat. When we're not walking the path of victory, we're walking in defeat. It's one or the other. You're either going to win or lose. I'm going to talk about three people in the book of Joshua. Well, really four types of people in the book of Joshua that kind of had a path, maybe to victory, maybe to defeat. We're all familiar with Joshua. He came after Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt, and then Joshua took on God's charge to lead them into the promised land, the land that was promised to their fathers. He fought several battles, I think a total of about 13, but the most memorable one was Jericho. The people of Jericho were, in one word, dark. They were evil. They were unredeemable people. They did all manner of sin and evil, and God commanded for them to be destroyed. He gave them clear and specific instructions on how he wanted that to be done, and Joshua led that charge. Before they went into the city, two spies were sent. Now, we know our God didn't need those spies. He already knew how they were going to win that battle. So I sincerely believe that Rahab was the reason that those spies were sent. She was a harlot, we know that. And so she no doubt spent most of her life living in sin, along with the people around her. She, like many of us, were lost in this world and didn't know God as her Savior. But she knew all those stories that she had heard about God and how he delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians and how he took them through their wilderness and how they crossed the Red Sea. All of them had heard those stories and she knew them to be true. She said to the men in Joshua 2 and 11, "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She knew who God was. She accepted him as Lord. in heaven and in earth and above, she knew. The Lord saw her faith, and for her faith, he spared not just her life, but the life of her entire family. We spoke about it briefly in our study of the book of James on Wednesday. And it's also mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believeth not, when she had received the spies with peace. So that first step in our path to victory is faith. Whether you're lost like she was lost amongst sinners in Jericho, wherever you are in your life, your first step to victory is evidence in faith in Christ and in Christ alone and in the sacrifice that he made for us. When we want to win, if we want to win, that's the only way. That's where it starts, with our faith. And that's why the scripture says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the first characteristic, the first character trait that a person would have if they want to walk and live the path of victory is faith, just like Rahab. So many of us are like her. So many of us were like her. We were lost in sin and we chose the path of righteousness, because we knew that in and of ourselves, we were unrighteous and our righteousness was as filthy rags, but in God, we were redeemed and our relationship to the Father was restored. Jesus told us in his world that in this world that we would have tribulation, that we would have problems, that we would have troubles, and we do. The word of God says those who are in Christ shall suffer persecution. That means that before it all ends, we're going to go through something. And we need to be prepared. And it starts with having our faith solid in the Lord. Not in our money, not in our jobs, not in our spouses, our children, our family, our friends. In Jesus, in Christ, and in Christ alone. So other than faith, what's important on the path to victory? Obedience. There is no way that Joshua would have been as successful as he was, not with just Jericho, but all the battles that he fought, without being obedient to the voice of the Lord. So often we want to go our own way. We think we know better than the Lord. How could we possibly know better than the very creator of the universe? He created all things from nothing. He spoke it into existence. We're nothing without him. So why do we think in our mere minds, our finite capacity to think and do, that we know more than God? I've been disobedient to the Lord and I've suffered for it. And that's what happens when we walk in disobedience, when we live in that. But in obedience, we will have victory in the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. That sounds simple, a simple task. But so many of us walk away and do our own thing each and every day. He tells us the word says to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That's what everything that we have. I'm guilty of not being that person all the time. But as I grow in the Lord, the greater my desire is to love God with everything, everything that I have. Amen. Outside of faith and obedience, we got to learn to trust God. When Joshua came to, before he went out to the Battle of Jericho, I'm sure he didn't think that God was going to do it the way that he did it. Walk around the city with these fortified walls. No one or nothing man could do would penetrate those walls. Jericho lived in fear of what God would send the Israelites to do, and so that wall was there to keep them out. God didn't need the Israelites to do this, but he wanted to show the power of who he was through them. So he specifically commanded them what they were to do. If they didn't have the faith in the promises of God, that they would conquer and overcome Jericho, not just Jericho, but all the cities that God promised, all the land that he promised to them. If they were not obedient to what he said, they would have lost that battle. If God tells you to walk around the city seven times, one time the first 6 days, seven times that last day, and to blow the trumpet and to shout, that's exactly what you need to do. It's about trusting the Lord, trusting that he has a plan for your life, for your family, for your finances. And the Lord wants what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. We can't always see it. Sometimes we can't see past our will or what we want. God's word says he'll give us the desires of our heart. And the hope is that the closer that you walk with the Lord and the more that you get to know him, your desire becomes his. Your will becomes his will. And the closer you walk to him, the more you want to become like him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us to trust in the Lord. Trust him. In all thy ways to acknowledge him. In all of our ways. And allow him to direct our paths. If he is directing us, we will never go wrong. If the Lord is leading you and guiding you, you will always be safe, just like the Israelites were. It's not recorded that one man was lost and their city was utterly destroyed. God gave them instructions before they went into the city. He told them that everybody must die, exactly what they should keep. I think it was gold and silver. Brass, something like that, iron maybe, for the treasury of the Lord, but everything else was to be destroyed. One of the soldiers named Achan chose to be disobedient. And he took spoils for himself and his family and he hid them in his tent. That act of disobedience cost them in the next battle. In the same manner that Joshua sent two men out to Jericho, he did the same for the city of Ai. The difference was there was then sin in the camp because of what Achan had done. Prior to Joshua going into Jericho, he heard from the Lord and he had instructions on what to do. But this time, maybe being a little overconfident, he listened to the spies and they said, oh, this will be easy. We only need about 3,000 men. So he didn't go to God before or wait to hear from the Lord for this. He moved forward without hearing from the Lord. And we do that sometimes, don't we? We have our plans. We have our things that we want to do. And maybe we did just have a big victory in the Lord. And so we're overconfident in ourselves and we think we don't need him the same anymore. But I need God every day in every area of my life. We all do. So we can never forsake our communication with the Lord. We can never move forward without hearing his voice. When Joshua fell to his face, you know, crying out to God, asking him, what happened? You know, you said we were going to be victors. You said he told him to get up. There's sin in the camp. Gave him instruction on what to do. Achan was revealed and he revealed his sin. He and his family were killed. stoned to death and burned because of his disobedience. Rahab and her family was saved because of her faith. Achan and his family was killed because of his disobedience. There's a lesson there. If you're walking in the path of victory, we should be careful because we could be leading someone close to us astray if we're not being obedient and walking in faith in the Lord. The last thing I would want to do is see a family member of mine, someone close to me or a friend, lose their soul, die and go to a devil's hell because I led them astray. You see, we're the light. The world is darkness. We're the light in that darkness. And if we're not walking in victory, think about who you could possibly be leading to death. Outside of faith and obedience and trust on our path to victory, we're going to have to die. Death is required. In like manner, Jesus had to die in order for us to have the victory in his death. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What's the world? Anything in our culture, anything in our society, anything in our actions, our beliefs that directly opposes God or his word. That's the world. That's the world we live in. Even some of us struggle in our flesh with things that we want, things that we see, things that we desire. And he plainly tells us that if we love those things, and love in that sense is the same love in "for God so loved the world." God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son. That agape love is what he's speaking about. So there are people who are loving things in this world like they should be loving the Lord. They're putting those things, those fleshly desires, maybe it's a career pursuit. Maybe it's your marriage or finances, whatever it is. We're not to put those things before the Lord. You have responsibilities, yes. You have a job. You have a family sometimes that you have to take care of. You have responsibilities as a spouse, but none of that should come before our relationship with God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You see, we can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. There is no in between. Some of us try to do just enough. Achan, he did just enough. He fought the battles and he did all that he was told to do as a soldier. But then he secretly fulfilled a fleshly desire of his own. And some of us are like that. I've been like that at times. Where on the outside, everybody thinks you're okay. You're doing all the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian, but secretly, you're living in sin. Your family may not see it. The people at this church may not know. Your friends may not see it, but God sees and knows all. And there are consequences to our actions, especially when we're walking in disobedience consistently. And some people think because they're doing things and it hasn't caught up with them yet, and they haven't had a negative thing happen to them yet, that it won't happen. It's only by the grace of God because all sin, unrepentant, must be judged at some point. Romans 6:6 tells us, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our flesh is supposed to be crucified the same way Christ was crucified. We have to die daily. This is not a recommendation, it's a requirement. Whether we want to or not, if you want the Holy Spirit to do the work in you, you have to surrender to it. You have to die to your flesh. I've had things that I've struggled with in my past, just like anyone else. And the closer that I get to the Lord, the easier it is for me to put that behind me. In like manner, in those times when I've continued to indulge in those things, the easier it is to continue to indulge in those things. So we have a choice to make. We have to make a decision. Either we're going to be on the path to victory or defeat. Either we're going to walk in faith, we're going to be obedient to the Lord, we're going to trust him and his plan for our life. There are things I question about my life. Lord, why did this happen this way? Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? But I have to trust God because he knows. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for my marriage, my family, my children. You have to put it all in God's hands. You have to trust him. The last thing, and it's not the last thing, there's several things that we need on our path. But we have to understand that our path to victory is simply walking out God's will for our life. And when we walk outside of that, we're headed towards defeat. Because the victory's not in us, it's in him and what he did on the cross. So that is already won. We just have to evidence that faith and walk it out. If I've watched a movie and it's one of those types of movies that you watch and you sit on the edge of your seat because you want to see how it ends. Once you know how it ends, when you watch the movie, again, you're not as intense because you know how that's going to end. How do we know how all of this is going to end? How do you know? Because someone stood up here and told you? Or because you've been in God's word and you know it for yourself? I mentioned to you when I started that I've been in church my entire life, but it wasn't until I became older and I learned how to study God's word that it went from here to here. I know that God loves me. I know that he died for me. I know that the Holy Spirit lives in me. I know how this story ends. I've read it. I've studied it. The word of God is necessary. It is vital if we want to walk in the path of victory so we can truly know how this story ends. Have you ever wondered why Satan keeps us from the word of God so much? See, he knows it, and he knows how his life ends. And he wants to take as many of us with him as he can. Get in the word of God. We need it. It's not just a book that should just collect dust on the shelf. All these things that we are running after, it's going to all pass away. The word of God says heaven and earth will pass away, but his word is what will last forever. We need to get that word in us, hide it in our hearts, so we don't sin against him. It's all inspired by God for reproof, for correction, so that we can become the women, the men, the children of God that he called us to be. Don't allow the enemy to distract you from the word of God. If you don't have a desire to read, ask him to give it to you. Ask him, Lord, please, I'm reading this. I don't understand it. Open it up to me. Give me a thirst for it. His word says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those are the ones that are going to be filled. Do you want to be filled today? As I close, I'm going to ask a question. Whose path are you on this morning? What path are you on this morning? My hope and prayer for everyone in this room and watching online is that you are not like the people of Jericho, living your life for yourself, doing what you want to do when you want to do it, ignoring God altogether. That is definitely a path to defeat. Maybe you're like Rahab. You've come out of sin, you've accepted God. Your life wasn't perfect, but you realize that you need him. And so by faith and grace, you're saved. Maybe along that path, you became like Achan. And you became distracted with all the things around you, with your own personal pursuits. And things of the world have become more important to you than things of God. You know, when we have services where people come up and they pray to receive the Holy Spirit, I often wonder if they go home and continue that prayer if they're not filled right here. You see, when you have a heart and a desire for the Lord, you go home and you pray and you seek God until you receive, because you know that's something that you need. You get in his word and you study it because you know and recognize and realize that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You understand that when Jesus left this earth, he left his word and he left the Holy Spirit. He didn't do it just to do it. He knew we needed it. That was the power that we needed to fight Satan. His word and the Holy Spirit that lives in us. But if we don't walk in faith and we don't walk in obedience and we don't walk in complete and absolute trust in the Lord, the Holy Spirit can't do the work through us because we're not surrendering to it. We're not being obedient to it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. It says, ponder, it means to weigh carefully, the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And I'm admonishing you to do that today, this morning. Ask yourself, what path am I walking this morning? Are eternal things, which are things of the kingdom, am I seeking that more? Or am I seeking the things of this world more? It's a question that only you can answer. Because again, some of us are like Achan. We're going through all the motions, but we have secret sins and secret desires and secret things that we're doing behind closed doors. But God sees and knows all. I'm going to end with one scripture just to give us hope and encouragement, because that's why I'm here, just to encourage you to get in your word. If you say you have faith and you believe in the Lord, then walk in obedience and fully trust him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the story ends. When we walk in the path of victory, it's not about us or anything that we've done, but it's all about what he did for us on that cross, for the sacrifice that he made so that we could be free from sin, so we don't have to be in bondage to our flesh or the things of this world. We can be free and victorious in the Lord. Amen. All right. If you'll bow with me, I'm going to end with a prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your word, God, because it does stand and it will last forever. We thank you, Lord God, for the word that you brought forth today. And I just ask that you would allow it to penetrate the hearts of your people, Lord, so that we can lay aside the weights of this world and we can focus our attention on you, Lord, exercising our faith in your sacrifice, in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. Help us, Lord God, to walk in obedience, to walk in trust, total trust in you, and to learn more about you in your word, because we need it each and every day. We thank you, God, in advance for what you're going to do. We thank you.
Lord, we thank you so much for what you do in our lives, how you lead and how you guide us, Father, how you comfort us, Lord, how you minister to us, how you show us, Lord God, and guide us from the things that we don't need to partake in, the things that we need to stay away from, and how we need to continue to look to you from which our help comes from. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful word this morning. The path to victory is in Jesus. The path to victory is in Jesus. There was an old song back in the day. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Amen. Amen. We want to thank everybody that joined us by way of webcast, our webcast audience. If you have not had the chance to give today, please, we need your efforts and your support. And please remember our water well. This is the only day to help our Pakistani Christians, brothers and sisters, let's get this thing taken care of for them. Let's get it taken care of for them. There's times where we've needed help in our personal lives, and now we have some brothers and sisters across the world that need us. So let's take care of that for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone that was here yesterday for the barbecue, we want to thank you for the fellowship. I know it was a good time. We want to thank all the volunteers that came out to help with the setup, the cleanup, and everything. So thank you so much. The Lord bless you. And last but not least, there is a bunch of books out there in the lobby on the tables. You saw them when you came in. Those are free. Please pick one or two, three, four, how many of you want. Take them and give them to friends. They'll be blessed by them, and they'll love them. And if you would, let's stand and let's be dismissed. As we depart from the physical church building, let's not forget one another. Let's keep in mind that we do need the Lord on our pathway to victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.